Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Here's your hosts, Jazz and David.
Good everyone, welcome back to another episode of Spark Your Fire. I'm your host, David Shee, and with me as always is your fabulous co-host, Jazz Stana, sitting in Melbourne office. How are you doing, Jazz?
I am really good, David. December, we are in summer finally, and it's 15 degrees outside, stupidly cold.
Yet you're saying it's summer, mate. What's going on?
Four weathers in one day.
I'm still trying to convince you to move to the best city in Australia, called Sydney.
You know that's not going to happen.
Mate, never say never. Never say never.
I'd rather give my Australian passport than moving to
Sydney. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, when the day that you actually do move, that's the I'll have to actually take your passport then in that case. But on a bit of a serious note, I think Jess, we just ticked over 10,000 downloads the other day, didn't we?
We did, mate. Congratulations on that, and thanks to our listeners.
It is a bit of a milestone. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to obviously thank all our listeners' support throughout 2019. We actually started, I think, when was our episode? I think the first episode was actually in January this year. So, it's almost 12 months and we hit 10,000 downloads. So that's actually not too bad. I'm quite happy about that. What do you reckon, Jazz?
No, really happy, mate. We did have a little bit of a rough start with the sound quality and the way we were doing it kind of thing. But it's all a learning exercise. I think we are maturing in this space. We do get a lot of good feedback from everyone. And the number of downloads is telling us all of what's going on. Feedback is really important to us because that's what's going to keep us going and improving. So if you can keep sending it through, whether it's the content or whether it's the quality or some things that you would like to listen more than the other.
That's right, because I think ultimately what we want to do is we want to make sure that Spark Your Fire is that we're using that as a medium to be able to solve people's problems. So, you know, whatever sort of problems that you have in relation to property or finances, you know, what are you seeing as the other challenges? You know, what do you want to do differently in 2020, which is upcoming in a month's time? So, you know, any kind of things, any kind of questions that you think that, you know, we could actually help, don't hesitate to drop us a message, you know, or leave a comment, that kind of stuff. We've got multiple ways of receiving all sorts of feedback, and we certainly look at all of them and we review and ensure that we incorporate all that content in our episodes just so that it can help you and other audiences as well.
If there's any particular kind of guest that you would like to listen to, reach us out. If we can bring them on the show, we'll definitely approach if it makes sense. It's a learning exercise for us as well. Obviously, we have done a lot in this space, but there's a lot more to be done at the same time. So we are learning a lot too, whether it's finance or property. So it's always good to listen to these guests that we have on the show, whether it's Roger, Steve, whoever else.
That's right. Yeah, I actually think that while we're actually being the host and the co-host, where the idea here is to actually bring out the knowledge of the guests to be able to share with all the audiences. But at the same time, I actually find those guest episodes are most rewarding as well, because not only you get to hear their part of the story, what they've done, the lessons they've heard, they've learned across the years, but also, you know, looking at different achievements they've gone through throughout the years. And, you know, all that is something that we can incorporate into our lives as well. So, you know, I think it's actually very, very interesting to be a host, which I think I haven't been a host 12 months ago and I never thought I would be. And I think, Jazz, you started with Mark Crypto Babble, so you've been a host longer than I did. I'm not sure whether you feel the same. You actually learn a lot more with these guests on the show.
And especially, like you said, the investor stories, they have been great of how some of these investors have simply smashed it by starting early or being bullish in the property space, whatever it is, right?
That's really cool. And it's not about how many properties you own or that kind of stuff. You know, even if you don't own any property or you got something to share, you know, I'm a personal believer that everyone has a story to share. Everyone's always got something new that they can always benefit someone else as well. So, so on that note, I actually think that this is going to be our last episode for 2019. And I don't think there's a better way for us to wrap up the year with a bit of I guess, rearview mirror in terms of what happened across the 2019 property, I guess, property market, and also doing a bit of forward looking of what we think is going to happen in 2020.
Sure. So I'll look in the rear view and you can look in the forward mirror.
You like to hold me accountable for predictions, don't I?
that was the aim here. I think the year actually has been a very roller coaster ride, David, if that's the right way to say it. 2019 started with a very pessimistic outlook of the property market and the economy in general. A lot of stuff was going on, Royal Commission, elections, changes to the finance world with the interest rates and all. So, the assessment rate and all, monthly expenditure, the way that's calculated. So it was a very hard time for the first few months in this space for anyone who is a property investor or works in this space in general. But the things did turn into the favor of the market for investors and the property buyers post-election, which is good. The market surely has recovered post-election. We have seen 3 rate cuts, so that's helped quite a lot. Interest rates are sitting in the low threes, high twos kind of thing. I think it's fair to say that the market has recovered at least somewhere between, depending upon where you are, 5 to 10%.
Yeah, look, I think that's probably, it definitely depends on which city you are looking at. And certainly for Sydney and Melbourne, I think we're looking at somewhere close to 5 to 10, that's for sure. Whereas for, you know, the other markets like Brisbane, Adelaide, probably closer to the 5% range instead in that regards. But, you know, I totally agree with you. I think the first half of the year in 2019 has been a challenging time for all property buyers. And everyone's been sitting on the market because of all the news that's coming up from Royal Commission fallout. Obviously there's a lot of negativities in the market around that time. I can still remember around that time, you know, when we initially started the podcast, you know, there was a lot of negativity around things, and no one's buying. Everyone's sitting on the fence because everyone just thinks, okay, price is going to continue to fall. What's going to happen to the finances? Are banks going to shut down? That kind of stuff based on Royal Commission. So yeah, there's been a lot of uncertainty in the first 5 months in 2019, and I think what happened was after the election, then obviously we, you know, the miracle win, as per Scott Morrison said, so Liberals back in power with the miracle win, and also having a bit of certainty around the government, then follows by Reserve Bank two consecutive cuts and another one in October. So 3 interest rate cuts, which fueled the property market to turn around, and that obviously sparked a lot of interest in terms of people who's got cash in the bank, because there's no point in terms of keeping the money in the bank. There's no interest. There's literally 1.something%, at most 2% for term deposit. Why would you leave your money in the bank term deposit account? So that's where people realized the fact and started to realize that, okay, well, look, shares are started to bounce back and properties are started to bounce back. That's, we need to look at something that's going to give us better return. And on that side, that's why I think from June onwards, you know, it's being a V-shape recovery, at least for Sydney and Melbourne, from what we're seeing. And as a matter of fact, Sydney alone last month in November 2019 has recorded about 2.7% growth, and that's been the highest since 1988. So in a single month, as in the growth from a single month perspective. So that is actually very, very impressive in that sense. We don't know whether that's going to be sustainable, though, moving into it, and we'll cover a bit more when we look at the forward-looking mirror. But certainly the second half of 2019 has been a quite extraordinary change. You know, we would never have expected the V-shaped type of recovery so quickly, so fiercely, in such a short period of time.
It's good that the property market has recovered, but for the next year at the same time, I'm being very cautiously optimistic. I'm optimistic, but I'm also being cautious at the same time, purely because the the overall economy and what's happening in the international markets can have some impacts on Australia, right? So even the Australian economy, we have seen, has been dealing with some headwinds in itself. And we hoping that there will be more rate cuts next year, if that happens to be the case. That will lead to more property growth next year, and we'll go into those numbers soon. But at the same time, there's a little bit of worry as well, because we are approaching close to zero.
I'm certainly hoping that RBA is starting to see that by keep lowering the interest rate at the moment, it's actually not helping with consumer spending, because that's the outcome that they want. Is by dropping interest rate, people has got a bit more room to breathe in terms of mortgage repayments, and therefore they got a bit more capacity to be able to spend on everyday consumptions. You know, goods and services and that kind of stuff. But what's been happening is that people have not been using that spare money into consumption, but put it into, you know, paying down more debt just to cover themselves. So RBA's intention has been, you know, try to boost GDP, has not actually worked. So I'm hoping that they're actually learning a little bit. How much they will cut, I don't know at this point. I think Philip Lowe the other day kind of indicated that there might be another cut sometime next year, potentially. We don't know. But hopefully, I certainly don't want it to go down to zero, and I don't really want to see it going negative to a degree. Something drastic has to happen, isn't it, to go down that route. Yeah.
I think the rate cuts is on the cards next year, but that will also come down to what the retail numbers look like post-Christmas. So when the RBA gathers into the boardroom February next year, those numbers will guide a lot. But it surely feels like, and especially what you just said, people are not spending that much money, but they're trying to pay down their debt faster,
yes,
which is actually a good thing, not a bad thing, obviously.
That's right.
But at the same time, it hurts the economy too, because there's not that much spending. And if we look at the manufacturing, or forget the manufacturing, actually the car sales number, they have been going down drastically. So. I think there will be rate cuts next year, which will fuel the property market again to some extent. But I don't think we are going negative anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, and also I think the other part of the equation is unemployment numbers. And I think if my memory serves me right, I think the unemployment numbers in November actually shoot up again. I think it's hovering around a 5.2 or 5.3%. So, you know, the RBA certainly tried to keep pushing the rate trigger button to try to get that unemployment rate down below 5% as well. And, you know, they're not seeing that result. They're going to have to think of something, some other ways. And I don't know what that will be, whether that's going to be another stimulus of some sort, which, you know, I think obviously more qualified economists like Martin, like Steve King, has we already invited them onto the show earlier this year to express their thoughts. We don't know what it's going to be like, yeah, it will be an interesting year in 2020 in terms of how that's going to pan out and how that's going to impact the property market.
The cash rate currently is 0.75.
Correct.
So if we see two more rate cuts next year, that will bring the cash rate down to 0.25, right? And if the rate comes down to 0.25, then we are surely going to see some measures by the RBA to stimulate the economy. And that, to me, is basically QE, which is printing money, essentially.
This current momentum, you know, if you look at the auction clearance rate, which I know, Jazz, you're completely on top of, the auction clearance rates around this period of time in, you know, traditionally December is a quiet period. And, you'll be looking at probably around, if at best, probably a low sevens, low 70s or the high sixes. But this year, so far, all the preliminary numbers are showing that they're going around the 80s on that respect. So it shows that the market is still going strong at the moment, and that's part of the momentum that's being built up with the three rate cuts, which what they're saying is RBA essentially started the sizzle under the property barbecue, and now everyone's joined the party. Yeah, and I think that's a good leeway to kind of talk about the forward, to look at the forward planning as well, because this, you know, I've got in front of me the boom and bust report snapshot for 2020 from SQM Research, essentially Christopher's Housing Boom and Bust Report 2020, which has been released every year. You know, they've got a few model out based on about four different scenarios, which I thought it would be able to share with our listeners if they haven't seen this yet, in terms of a couple of different triggers that's going to impact and what they think the predictions of the price growth is going to be. So there's mainly the cash rate is going to be the main one of the main trigger. Okay, so RBA cash rate. The economy is another one of those triggers, whether it's going to recover or whether it's going to get subdued like what it is. The other trigger that looking at is the APRA, whether APRA is going to intervene or not. And if they do, when are they going to come into the picture?
Yep.
So those are the couple of the key ones that's, that they use in terms of, you know, if you think of them like levers for different type of scenarios. And the one that they're predicting at the moment, which is the what they call the base case, so the one that they think is likely to happen, at the moment has got these triggers. They think that the cash rate is going to stay unchanged at 0.75%. Okay, so RBA is not going to pull any more rate triggers next year. The economy will be slowly recovering as a second point. The AUD, so the Australian dollar, will range between about 65 to 75 US dollars. Okay, so I think we're sitting at currently about 68, 67, 68, isn't it? So yeah, they'll still remain within that range. And the last lever is no APRA intervention until late 2020 at the earliest. Okay, so the first three quarters would probably still looking with no intervention, and then APRA just going to leave it running. And APRA will only step in towards end of the year.
Yeah.
So based on those four levers, what they modeled out is they're looking at a growth for Melbourne between about 11 to 15%.
That is high.
Look, I think it's at this current rate, and I would say Melbourne at the moment has already done probably similar to Sydney as well. You know, it's already done a recovery of about 7 to 8%. It just comes down to, you know, people and the other thing is, don't forget the lever that they're putting here is the economy is recovering. So people's confidence is coming back.
Yeah.
People's confidence is coming back. Sentiment's coming back a bit more. Therefore, they are a bit more optimistic in terms of the property market as well. And even now, people are being very optimistic in terms of getting in, right? You see all these offers and bids right in the center of everywhere. You know, I actually think that that is possible, but whether the number's going to be going up that much, again, I'm probably with you slightly conservative because I'm more of a conservative person. I say probably closer to the 10%-ish.
Right. Well, it's interesting. And this is with the base case where the rate doesn't actually change.
That's right. They say the rate is unchanged. So, so that's 11 to 15% for Melbourne. And for Sydney, they're looking at about 10 to 14%. So similar to that. Mm-hmm. Brisbane looking at a 3 to 6%. Perth looking at a 3 to 6%. And Adelaide looking at 1 to 4%.
Yep.
Hobart 5 to 8, Canberra 3 to 7, and Darwin is the only one that's negative, -5 to -2. But on average, across all the capital city, on this base case, we're looking at about 7 to 11% on average across the city.
I'll be like you, a little bit more conservative on this one. I think these numbers are on a bit higher side. This is provided the rate doesn't change, right? If the rate actually changes, which is the next scenario, David, it becomes even interesting. So
that's right. But and you know, there's a big if in terms of the economy recovering at this point, given all the uncertainties across the world, as you pointed out as well. So, you know, there's quite a few ifs in this scenario. But having said that, they still believe that this is probably one of the most likely to happen in 2020. So, you know, I reckon we'll, as you said, we'll keep cautiously optimistic at this point. Hope for the best, but plan for the worst and see how 2020 is going to bring us, whether that's going to roll like the base camp.
In all honesty, I think scenario two is going to be more like the base case, in my opinion, where the rates will actually cut to 0.5%, as it says. right? There will be still trade war, but it will be a bit more stabilized, right? Economy will be running stable, and no APRA intervention. So I do agree on two things for sure, that the RBA, that there's a likelihood of RBA cutting the rate, and there won't be any APRA intervention, and probably the trade war would have stabilized a little bit, right?
If we go
with this scenario, the number for Melbourne is a growth of somewhere between 12 to 17%, according to this chart.
Even higher.
Even higher, right?
There's no APRA intervention, basically. And rate cut is fueling that growth again.
Exactly. And for Sydney, it goes between 11 to 16%. That is again, more or less same for Melbourne and Sydney. And the Perth market will grow by 4 to 7%. Same for Brisbane. Adelaide will be somewhere between 1 to 4%. Hobart will be somewhere between 6 to 9%, again on the higher side. Canberra, somewhere between 4 to 8%. So the range in this case is basically 8% to 13% across all the cities. But I honestly think scenario two is going to be the base case, which means there will be rate cuts. And if that's the kind of growth that we'll see, we are again heading towards some decent offers coming on the properties for investors who are in the
Indeed.
Space.
Indeed. Yep. Yeah, indeed. And look, you know, I certainly can see why you're hedging your bets on this more than the SQM base case. But it's interesting, you know, certainly interesting, especially we're looking at Adelaide. So all cases are showing it's about +1 to 4%, showing that Adelaide's a steady market, whereas the ones that's fluctuating more, like the likes of Sydney and Melbourne, they're the one that either, you know, going to get the most of the gain, or during losses, they also get the most of the losses. So it fluctuates so much, right? Yeah. So for different type of investors, you know, that kind of gives you a bit of perspective in terms of what cities, depending on your risk appetite, what sort of city is going to suit your appetite a bit more, I guess, in terms of the property markets.
So basically, 2020 overall is looking good for property market, whether there is a rate cut or not. There definitely won't be any APRA intervention, because that just happened. I mean, that whole thing got out of the way only this year, so it's not going to come back that quickly. And the economy will hopefully be running stable for a little while before something else happens in the world economy. I think the numbers to watch are really the wage growth, which you mentioned before.
That's right.
The retail sales that will come out next year for Christmas, and the interest rates. So those three things will together decide where we headed for. But either way, good news for people who are planning to buy property or are holding property to some extent.
That's right. That's why a lot of investors are jumping in at the moment, right? Because obviously there's a lot of optimism that's going on in the property market. You know, if we look at a bit of a more conservative cases, which is what they panned out for scenario four, I think that's the most pessimistic scenario that you probably could go for, where they assume the level of that the trade talks collapse. So the trade war between US and China collapse, and you know, the trade war continues like what it currently is based on Trump's tweeter. The economy weakening, so that's possible. We don't know whether that's going to happen, but in the worst case scenario, could happen. The RBA cut rate to zero by end of 2020. So that's what we spoke about earlier, to say how much more will go. Well, okay, we both don't think that it's going to go down to zero that quickly or potentially, but hey, that could still be a possibility. So, you know, in this scenario, if they do cut the rate towards zero by end of 2020, and also they predict that QE will start in 2020, and under that kind of scenario, it's a very, very subdued growth across all cities. So Sydney and Melbourne, which is the two most fluctuating ones, they're expecting about a 0 to 4% growth, which is quite low. But it's still not in the negative. It is still positive, and interesting to see in that sense. Brisbane, followed by -3, so -3% to 1%. So pretty much a no growth or a real decline.
Yep.
Adelaide, -2 to +2%. So also trading a little bit into the negative territory, but I'll say probably stay stagnant. Hobart is the interesting one. 3 to 6%. So it's +3 to 6%. So it's they think that under this kind of scenario, you know, Hobart's performing, it's going to perform even better than Sydney and Melbourne. It's, it makes sense. And when I look at the numbers as well, you know, if the rate cuts really goes down to that low and they start printing money, then logically it makes sense because Hobart has got one of the highest yielding type of properties, so cash flow. So, you know, investors are probably seeking for high cash flow properties rather than high capital growth properties. Sydney and Melbourne are not high cash flow properties, so they're certainly a bit more subdued, whereas the likes of Hobart, the likes of Canberra, in this case, Canberra is +4 to 7%. You know, these are the two markets that's going to be favored by the investors more or less because of their cash flow return. That's the way I read this.
So it's definitely interesting time for investors next year. Like I said, we are optimistic, but we are being cautious. So we'll just keep watching the economy of what's how it pans out.
Definitely a lot of uncertainty factors. And that's why, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are not just looking at property. That's why we brought on to the likes of Roger, who's bringing a bit more knowledge around other asset classes as well. So, you know, like certainly in this type of, in this kind of environment, it's probably good to be able to look at diversifying a little bit. Property is still a good asset class to hold from long term. But, you know, we're never like big advocates to say you should only buy property in that regards. You know, someone who is a good investor will always have a diversified portfolio. Jazz certainly has got a lot of knowledge in crypto. And, you know, we'll be looking at certainly in 2020, I think one of our goal is to be able to bring a bit more knowledge around crypto so that we can educate our listeners and also maybe bring on a bit more guests of similar caliber like Roger that's going to be able to share a lot of wisdom in other asset classes as well so that, you know, everyone can make a more informed and educated process and decision in terms of what they should be diversifying or, you know, whether it's still what sort of property they still want to be looking at getting in a bit of uncertainty period like this.
It's really good, David. I think we had a pretty good year, pretty good run. Totally. We enjoyed it. We had a lot of good feedback from the listeners. So I hope we keep doing some good stuff next year as well. So that's good.
I'm sure we will. And again, you know, thank you all for listeners for all your support in 2019. We hope you do have a safe and happy Christmas and New Year. And I'm sure, you know, Jazz and I will be back again in probably second week of January in 2020. And we'll continue to deliver more exciting contents for you guys.
Definitely. So enjoy your Christmas. Have a good break. Party hard. Play safe. And to our listeners, hope you guys are enjoying the content. If you are, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or whatever app you're using. And don't forget to let the word spread like a fire. Spark your fire. Cheers, Jazz and David. Bye.
Take care and see you next year.
If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.